Welcome to Hunting the Way. I'm your host, Scott Whatley. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hunting the Way is a ministry of our Sportsman of Colorado show, heard every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on our sister station, KLZ 560. If you would like to hear some of our past shows, you may simply go to huntingtheway.com and click on podcast. I also welcome your comments and questions. You can send me an email at scott@huntingtheway.com. Today's an encore presentation of a conversation I had with evangelist Rodney Woodcock on what he sees in our churches today as he travels across America. Let's join that conversation. It's been great over these last few weeks since we start our show to have different special guests in, and most of the ones are not only friends, but really, really good friends, and friends that I've been able to meet that are in the ministry and just love having their insight on just the way our world is today. So with that, I'd like to welcome a very good friend of mine, Brother Rodney Woodcock, who is in evangelism now. So Brother Woodcock, thanks for being on Hunting the Way with me today.
Well, thanks, Scott. It's very good to be here.
So always, like I've had all the other pastors on, just tell us a little bit about your testimony and, you know, how you came to know the Lord, and
sure,
then we'll get into a couple of topics.
Well, I was led to the Lord by my dad at about 7 years old. I like to say that I was in church before I knew I was in church. I was born on the Monday morning that Vacation Bible School started in our church, and my mom was the director, and needless to say, she did not show up that day. So I grew up in the church. I surrendered to preach at about 10 or 11. I was with my dad and a camp director and a missionary at a youth camp working, and there on a rooftop, actually of a cabin being built, I gave my life to the Lord. And then I got a little older and sort of ran from that for a while, and never doubting what God wanted and never doubting God, mm-hmm, just had other ideas. So I went where it's safe, the United States Army. And
tired of being told what to do.
Yes, absolutely. Wanted to have my way, so I went to the Army. And there God used a lot of things just to renew that call. And that's kind of my story. Been working as hard as possible ever since.
Absolutely. And you've pastored in a couple of places.
I have pastored actually three churches. We started a work while I was still in the Army in Arizona, and turned that work over, came here to the metro area for a few years, and pastored over on the west side, and turned that over to a man that's still there, and then went to Jerome, Idaho, and were there for the last 9 years until we left last October to go full-time on the road in evangelism. So,
well, that's been great, and you know, you've been a tremendous blessing to our church, First Baptist Church of Englewood, our church camp, Silver State Baptist Youth Camp, and, you know, to me personally as well. I wanted to talk about our topic today and hunting the way. And, you know, it's funny you said the same thing that almost every pastor has said. We all knew what to do, mm-hmm, but chose a different path.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the way. We know our choices are probably not going to be as good as they should. What do you think makes what's in us that just makes us want to do that running for a while?
Well, ultimately, it's independence of God. While we know intellectually, and I think we know from Scripture, that the God is the necessity of all things, that really nothing that's done independent of God is of any great value. We become secure or seek security in things that are more temporal. And so we're faced often with these decisions that are either all faith or all us. There's really no part faith in most things. It's either all faith or it's all us. We are either allowing and depending upon God to be all, or we are saying, I've got this, I'll let you know when I need your help. And that's not faith at all.
Right.
And so I think we come to those decisions, and I think all faith is scary. I think that we look out, because when it is faith like that, we can't see beyond the moment of that decision. So now we have to say, I'm going to walk this way because it's what God said, and I know it to be right, but I can't see how this works out. So that begins to get us seeking after security. And the independence of God part is, instead of taking our security from who he is and what he said, we now begin to look for how to materially make our security. Mm-hmm. And it may not just be the pursuit of wealth, but it's still in things that I can make happen. I can touch, I can feel, I can make happen. And so suddenly I find myself choosing those things, I think intending to follow God. I'm not talking about being a bad person necessarily,
right,
but just saying, I've got to do this before I can follow God. So I think that's how we get there. And I think that's how we've gotten there in mass in Christianity, certainly our, you know, independent Bible-believing churches in our country today have gotten there because we have really measured our spiritual condition by our material condition, and we're very well off materially, and so we think we're okay spiritually.
You're listening to Hunting the Way. If you're just getting in the car or turning on the radio, my name is Scott Whatley. My guest today, evangelist Rodney Woodcock. And, you know, by the way, if you like what you hear today from Brother Woodcock, and you would be interested in maybe having him come preach at your church, you can certainly get in touch with me, scott@huntingtheway.com, and I can pass that request on. I wanted to talk a little bit today, Brother Woodcock, about our church. As a pastor for a number of years and now in evangelism, going church to church, if you were putting the stethoscope on the heartbeat of the church today, what are you seeing out there? What are some of the issues or problems, whatever word we want to use, but what do you see we're failing in?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'd say this first. I don't know what the number of churches that we'll be in this year is. I've never counted it. But we meet a lot of good people, a lot of very sincere people. And so anything that we would say that would sound like a criticism is really just an evaluation.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't want it to ever be understood any other way. But saying that, I think it really goes back to what we just said, and that is in churches and mass or in general, we've just got so much where our perspective is upon the things that we can do and not on him. Mm-hmm. And it's a true statement. It's kind of an old statement, but you know, there's a lot of times in church where if God doesn't show up, it wouldn't make a difference in what we do. And what that causes is a constant turning to the things that are very temporal to make us feel like we're doing something very spiritual. Right. I know that sounds odd, but there's a picture of it in the Bible, and it's the Church of Laodicea. And Laodicea is a city that we could probably relate to. It's a very wealthy city. It's a city that, when offered aid from the Roman government over natural disasters, refused it. They said, we have our own. They're very successful in manufacturing a garment industry there, a medical industry there. And yet when God looks at the church there, he says, you know, you really don't matter. What you're doing doesn't matter. I see your works, but I would that you were lukewarm or cold or hot, but you're lukewarm. And that lukewarmness is in reference to the water supply there versus the water supply of the other towns on the Lycus Plain. There is Hierapolis, hot springs, and there's a healing product, and there's Colossae, and they have like cold mountain springs, and there's a refreshing product. But in Laodicea, it's just uselessness. And he says of the church there, you know, you're doing a lot of stuff, thank you, but you're doing it without me. And because you're doing it independent of me, it really has no benefit in my program for eternity. So what I would counsel you to do, he says, is come and buy riches of me, and come and be robed in my clothing, and come and buy eye salve, something that was produced in Laodicea medically that was very well known, but come and buy eye salve so that you can really see. And what's happening in churches, I think, is that we've really lost our perspective of who God is. And when we lose our perspective of who God is, then we begin to fill those voids with our own sort of godness. And I don't mean that, again, in a rebellious to God,
right,
shaking our fist way. It's just that we just have forgotten the wonder of our God and the practical reality of that from day to day. And so instead of living in that dependence upon God, we are living independent of God, and we would ask him to intervene at particular points in our life. And it's happening all across our country.
Right.
You know.
What do you see as far as, I mean, I grew up in a great church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And, I mean, it was the lighthouse for fundamentalism in the 60s, 70s. music started to change in the 80s, some different standard. Mm-hmm. Still great preaching from the pulpit. But,
sure.
We see that in a lot in our churches today. And again, I make no bones about this. I go to First Baptist Church of Inglewood. I'm independent Baptist and make no bones about that. But that's not what our shows are about. Our show's about you having a personal relationship with the Lord, knowing 100% sure that when you die, you go to heaven and that you're a saved person. So I want to make that clear. But what do you see in some of these pastors that are, and again, you said it right, we're not trying to be judgmental. This is just an evaluation of what we see,
right.
Okay? Why they change in some of their stances that they stood for so many years, and whether it may be just King James Bible, you know, whatever, but or music, what are some of the things? And it seems like a lot of them did some things to try to build crowds, and I've seen it in some churches that I just know of personally, just me, that it's kind of had that different effect. They're really not having the ministry that they thought those changes would bring them. I read one quote, and I wanted to read this and get your thought. It said, "Worship is no longer worship when it reflects the culture around us more than the Christ within us."
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think at the root of your question was, I mean, what decision-making process or what philosophy or whatever is driving this, moving away from things they have always stood for in order to try to gain this crowd? And in a word, it's pragmatism. So they're looking and saying, you know, the culture's going this way, and in order to have an impact on the culture, I've got to become like the culture, and that will bring more people into my church, and so forth and so on. But it boils down to exactly this. Worship is honoring God. And if you were to read in the book of Malachi, God really confronts the people there over their worship. And he says, look, you're not honoring me in your attitude at worship. He says that they have profaned it, really. You're not honoring me after your attitude changes. You don't honor me in your execution of worship. You bring that which is blind and lame and offered as a sacrifice and expect me to accept it because you offer it. And you don't honor me in that. You don't honor me in anything that you do. So you're going through all of this motion of worship, but really it's about something other than me. And that's what's happening in this great movement of really fundamental churches. And let's be clear, fundamentalism is not a philosophy. It is a nearness to the Word of God. It is saying that we believe that there's only one standard for faith and practice, and that's the Word of God. That's ultimately where we would stand as Bible believers. And so what happens is we now begin to carve that off pragmatically and say, well, that's not really reaching people today. And in doing that, we just walk away from God. So we don't honor God. And then when we don't honor God in worship, whether it be corporate or really personal to a great extent, when we don't honor God, God cannot really work in that. So we don't see God do the things that only God can do. Mm-hmm. And when we don't see God do the things, God said, Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. And so when we follow him, he builds the church as he would want it to be. But when we are not honoring him, then we don't see him building. And so now we go out to try to find a way to build it where he is not building it. And the root of that is we've got to get back to honoring God.
Sure.
We've got to get back to putting him, and that's why I say the great problem is that we've lost our perspective of God, and we've really taken God and molded him in the image of our culture, and therefore we worship him like our culture.
Right. You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. My guest today is Evangelist Rodney Woodcock. Again, if you're looking for someone to come and preach at your church, I can certainly get you in touch with Brother Woodcock, just a tremendous Christian and a great guy, and has certainly been a great friend to our church at First Baptist Church of Inglewood. We're having 4 weeks for the family at our church, and we would love to have you come and visit us. It's 3190 South Broadway in Inglewood. And again, just shoot me an email, scott@huntingtheway.com, if you'd like more information on that. But we have Sunday services. Our Sunday school hour starts at 10 a.m. Sunday morning service is 11 a.m. Sunday nights at 6 p.m. And yes, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So if that's something that seems strange, we still have it three times a week there. Now, in your role now as an evangelist, you're probably getting to visit with pastors more and more and hearing the issues in their church with problems and families. So kind of going back to our 4 weeks for the family, what are you hearing from pastors as far as, because again, And it gets disheartening to me sometimes, if I had to be honest. I'll go back to my home church and see people that preached to me my whole time growing up about being faithful, and they don't come on Sunday night anymore. They don't come on Wednesday night. And it can kind of be disillusioned even for you, because you're like, man, you taught me to do this,
right?
And now you're not doing it. And why? So what are pastors seeing as far as in their people as far as the way people are coming to church, attending church, and what's the mindset of the person sitting in the pew today?
Well, I think it's described frequently to me as apathetic. I hear that word a lot. And so they would say, and I would not disagree, we're in need of revival to deal with apathy. Mm-hmm. But apathy boils back to everything we've talked about. The real problem is that people are coming to church with a what's in this for me perspective, instead of a perspective of being fed and being then a servant and doing and then being excited about it. So it's almost like there's an attitude that's frequently encountered out there that, well, you know, when I come to church, you know, I'm doing that. I'm serving God just by coming and sitting, and God should be pleased with that. And I don't really need to do much more than that. I've done my part, and let me go on about my life. And it all still boils back to that who God is and what is His role in our life. And it doesn't seem to excite people. Much of this year in meetings, what I've been preaching on is exactly that. Who is God? And how do we respond to God? And what does God say about that? And the impact has been good on people, because I constantly get this. Well, you know, I never really thought of that. I'd forgotten who God was. I'd let my relationship go and it cooled because I don't see God as He is. And the pastors are constantly encountering people where they're having to compete for time in their life, for time and for all the other resources of their life. When in fact, a pastor shouldn't have to compete for that.
Sure.
He should have to lead that. He should have to help feed those people and equip them, but he certainly shouldn't be trying to find ways to compete with the television, with the sports program at the high school, with all of those things. And it's not that all those are wicked. It's just that they're not first, because God's not in those things. And where God is, God's people should come first. And constantly, pastors are saying, man, I don't know how to get people out. I don't know how to get them out on Sunday night. I don't know how to get them out on Wednesday night. It's a struggle.
Absolutely. And what would you say to someone today that, you know, maybe they've been out of church for a long time? They got hurt. You know, mm-hmm. They got offended, whatever. And I'm so tired of that word, offended. But
I'm offended by that, yeah. But that's okay.
But, you know, they got offended. And maybe they don't even know how to go out and look for a good church. You move to a new area, and first of all, we probably wouldn't move to a new area unless we knew where there was a good church.
Right,
but let's say you came here, you know, the Denver area, and you're looking for a good church. How does someone even go on about trying to find a good church?
Well, for me, it's very simple, because I have a narrow band. When I would move to an area, I, like you, am an independent Baptist without shame of that. Mm-hmm. And I know that not everyone listening is. Where people have to go to is, where do they stand on the Word of God, first of all, and how do they honor God? And when you go into a worship service that, if you were to visit a church or just call a church and begin to inquire, and one of the first questions would be, tell me what your worship is like. And when the description of that worship is that which, if you're paying close attention, is just feeding the flesh, you should know that God will not be honored in that. So God's not honored when we worship in a way that pleases us. God is honored when we worship in a way that pleases Him. So given kind of the church landscape today, if you were to move here to Denver, Colorado, there are lots of churches, and I don't want to sound or judgmental against them, but the fact of the matter is that the worship hour is about the worshiper and not the one who's being worshiped. And immediately, if I'm looking to get things right in order in my life with God, I should realize that I can't worship God in a place that's about me. I have to worship God in a place that's about Him. So I'm going to start there, and then that's going to immediately take me to the Word of God. Because if the Word of God is not exalted and well taught and well preached, then God will never be honored in that place. And so you've got to find a place that unashamedly centers their ministry upon the written word of God without any addition and without any subtraction to it, and then would, because of what it says, honor God in how they conduct those services, worship. And when you do that, you've begun to find churches where you can say, I could go here and I could grow and I could become more like Christ, and my family could, and we could be healed by the Master, not by a man. We're looking for a church where it by getting out of God's way can begin to see God do what only God can do in your life. Right. And I think they need that. Now, I'll say this. If I were coming to this town, I'd go to First Baptist Church of Englewood. Right. But, I'm not going to say it's the only, but it's certainly the best as I see it.
Absolutely. You're listening to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley. My guest is Evangelist Rodney Woodcock. And again, if you're just joining us, we are having 4 weeks for the family at our church, First Baptist Church of Englewood, located at 3190 South Broadway. And we would certainly extend an open invitation for you to come. The church number there, if you'd like more information, is 303-781-5519. That's 303-781-5519. Now, what has been the real big difference in pastoring and evangelism? And I realize we only have about 7 minutes left.
Okay. But that's no problem.
But, what's been that big difference? And maybe did it open your eyes in some things that maybe you didn't see before as a pastor?
Well, I had the advantage of pastoring and traveling and preaching a lot of meetings even
right.
then. But being on the road full time, I think what I'm just seeing is the width, the breadth of the same sort of difficulties, that there is this wrong perspective of God, and there is this apathy that comes from that mm-hmm. that is broad and wide in churches across our country, and at the same time, there are people who, when they really hear about God, they perk up. So I think that maybe I've learned this, that as a pastor, going back, we tend to get focused on preaching messages often that are trying to fix things in people's lives, and we would do better to preach God and to lift him up and his son, Jesus Christ, because then there is a real fix than we are to try to preach these how-to messages. Let's exalt the God of the how-to instead of exalting the how-to. And I think that it would make a big difference in the way that our churches are, certainly, and the lives of people are. There is another difference that I tell you that I'd find, and that is, as you know, I just bought a new truck. And because of the way we live now, my wife had no problems at all with buying a heavy-duty truck.
And, yeah.
So there's a perk to all of that. But.
Absolutely. What would you say that as you're talking to pastors, you were a pastor, that those of us that are sitting in the pew could do more to help our pastor, to support him more? What are some thoughts or say, hey, look, you know what? Your pastor is going through things that you have no idea,
right.
different things in the church, whatever the case may be. But how can we be more of an encouragement to our own pastor? What are some thoughts there?
Let me say this to you. Realize that your pastor, for the most part, doesn't have a pastor. He doesn't have someone. I mean, he does probably have someone in his life that's
sure.
from old, but he needs men in the church to be sensitive to his needs, not just financial needs and those things, but when he just needs some encouragement, and when he might need some time, and when he might need those kind of things, and to really come beside him. But I would say more than that, what you can do is demonstrate that you're all in. That the pastor doesn't feel like he's combating the flock that he's feeding and the men and always having to pull, but that your pastor would know that you've got both hands on the same rope, on the same side of the tug of war, and that when he says heave, you heave, and when he says ho, you'll ho.
Right.
Not because of who he is, but because you're laboring for the glory of God together. And I'm telling you that as a pastor, that he just needs to know that even when he's going to make some mistakes along the way, that the people aren't sitting arm crossed waiting for him to fail and then say, I knew it. But mm-hmm. instead, they are holding him up in grace, both in prayer, certainly, and also in the way that they would interact with him, that they would know not just in word, but in fact, that the people are there and that they're there to follow him as he follows Christ, according to the word of God, and that they're all in. I would say, number one, let your pastor know that you are on board.
Right. And I think the same could also go for a pastor's wife, for the ladies in the church.
Oh, certainly.
That's kind of a lonely position. I mean, you know, a lot of hours that we don't know. They're at hospital visits or counseling people and all the things. And so same thing for the ladies in the church, maybe just step up and be that friend of
her. And I agree with that. One of the things that was a blessing to me in our church in Jerome were some of the ladies who really became friends with my wife and still are after we've left there. People need to understand that the pastor's wife role is not defined the way the pastor's role is. And they have to allow the pastor's wife to use her spiritual gifts and to be her friend like all of the other women in the church.
Right.
And because of who her husband is, she's put in situations that they never will be in dealing with people, like you say, and those sorts of things. But man, she needs to be allowed to be one of the women of the church and have friends amongst those ladies without being afraid of everything being picked apart.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing I've tried to do just with my own pastor is David Pittman, which you know, my brother-in-law, he was on our show last week. And David told me a number of years ago, probably 7-8 years ago, he says, my sister was going through some issues with her diabetes, loss of a leg. And David was calling a few men in the church to get them to try to help with something. And each one was busy and couldn't do it. And good men, they just couldn't do it what he needed right then. And it just hit me when he said that, you know what, if my pastor's calling me, he needs me. Okay.
Right.
So what I've tried to do, and I know there's probably been a couple of times I hadn't been able to come through, but what I've tried to do just personally is if he calls, I'll either take care of it or I'll tell him I'll take care of it.
Right.
And then I get somebody where it's off his plate.
Right.
And
yeah.
even if it's just simply that, you know, just saying, because if they call you, they need you,
That's
or they
right.
wouldn't be calling you.
Yeah, and I would say, and thank you for, what I know you do, but thank you for saying that. You know, a pastor needs to know when a man says, hey, I've got that preacher, that it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many times that a pastor hears a man say, I've got that, and then they end up doing it themselves.
Sure.
And it's very discouraging, and, you know, they're not saying around, wah, wah, boo, hoo, but it's very discouraging, and it makes you hesitant as a pastor to really enable your men to ministry. Men need to realize that when a pastor calls, it is an open door to ministering in the name of Christ,
right.
not just for the pastor or the man.
Absolutely. Man, I wish we had a couple of hours. Our time is up, but thank you so much for being here. And again, thank you for your friendship to me and Victoria, our church, and we're certainly praying for you and your ministry now as you're on the road in evangelism.
Well, amen, Scott. Thank you for having me and appreciate being a part of all of it. And
well, thank you so much. Thanks for joining us for Hunting the Way. Again, if you'd like a podcast of today's show, simply send me an email, scott@huntingtheway.com. Once again, our church, First Baptist Church of Englewood, we would love to see you, 3190 South Broadway in Englewood. Thanks for joining us today. And remember, God's way is the best way. Have a great Sunday.